of the concrete, the finishing of the concrete, and the cleanup of the concrete. But with all of the heat that was out there, I remembered something else. They also are not allergic to getting up and doing things early, because if they get out there and get it done, then it's better for the concrete, you know, not being in the heat of the day and all that sort of stuff. In my opinion, that's not a professional opinion. It's just a personal observation, because the heat dries things out so fast. And I do remember coming to church and seeing a rather large structure being constructed, and seeing concrete crews out there before daylight. And, you know, I can tell you, the folks of JITS Concrete, they know what it's like to get up early. They want to get out there and get it done and get out of the way for you. So if you've got a concrete project coming up, JITS Concrete, long time in Brevard County, lots of projects. 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. General contractor I was using one time referred to them as, we were having a discussion about them, and I wanted them to do the concrete job. And he said, well, your concrete guy is my concrete guy. And so he didn't know that when I mentioned it to him. And he reached out to his folks, and he said, hey, the guy I was reaching out to is the guy that you were telling me about. So JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804. If you have a project coming up, save yourself a headache. Save yourself making mistakes. Save yourself the inconvenience, and contact them so you can check and see if y'all could come to some sort of agreement. It would your body will thank you, and I imagine they can do it for a very comparable cost. If you're looking for a concrete job, they may be a great resource for you to check out. Today we're going to Second Chronicles chapter 20, Second Chronicles chapter 20, and verse number 14 says this. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel. I'm going to skip the names there. And he says, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now, I've been sharing with you from this passage. I think this is the fifth broadcast that we've been in Second Chronicles chapter 20, and I've told you that while praising the Lord is something everyone should do, not every battle strategy that God has is going to follow the template of Second Chronicles chapter 20. But there are several principles that we can glean from this passage that are good actions to take no matter what's going on. And so we have talked about thus far that Jehoshaphat as an individual, when the armies gathered, set himself to seek the Lord, that he then brought all of Judah, and they set themselves to seek the Lord, that Jehoshaphat then led the people in prayer, talked about who God was before he talked about who the enemy was, talked about God's dominion, that God had power that would be irresistible to enemies. He goes on and describes the generational covenant with God, and now that God was their God, they were walking in covenant with him, and reminded God and themselves that, look, God gave us this as a result of his friendship, a forever friendship with Abraham. And they said, you know, we're here. We've made the most. We built a house here for God's name and for his presence. Now we're crying out to him, and we're going to pray, and we're expecting God to save us. He said, you know, you established boundaries. You would not allow us to do harm to these armies that have now gathered against us to do harm against us. And they also, in way of recap, said, we don't have the power. We don't have the natural resources. We don't have the intellectual capacity to come up with a scheme to outsmart them. What we do have is we do have the ability to put our focus upon you rather than focus on our problems. All of those are great strategies. And verse number 14 says that God's response, and I mentioned this on yesterday's program, we don't know how long it was from the prayer until the prophet stepped up and prophesied in the name of the Lord. We do know that from scripture here, it says it was not a prophecy that was birthed out of patriotism. It wasn't a prophecy that was birthed out of the prophet's own spirit or out of his own emotions, but it was a spirit-directed prophecy. And it had direct impact. It was, okay, you're my people, this battle, here's the strategy. So I want to talk to you today and probably into tomorrow as well about steps to take and why they're important. You got to get the sequencing right. And so the command in verse number 15 from the prophet, the prophetic word begins this way. Listen. Listen. It's a thus says the Lord moment. And so let me read verse 15. Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat. So he didn't leave anybody out. Thus says the Lord. So I want to encourage you, no matter what you are dealing with, if you are dealing with a spiritual issue, if you are dealing with a relational issue, if you're dealing with a problem at work or a problem in your finances or a problem in your health, make sure you pray, and you don't pray just long enough to tell God your problem. Spend time in prayer so that you hear God speak and give you a thus says the Lord. Listen to God before you take action into your own hands. Saul, King Saul, who was on the throne before David, he was in the process of seeking direction from God, and all of a sudden there was an outbreak of victory. Israel was being victorious against the Philistines, and Saul commanded the priest, withdraw your hand. I don't need to hear from God right now. There's a battle that's being won, and I just want you to take your hand back, because I'm going to take matters in my own hand. Saul did that repeatedly. He offered sacrifices he wasn't supposed to sacrifice. He changed God's mandate into something that was more policy-friendly to his troops. he took matters into his own hands and changed how he was supposed to treat other hostile forces, and Samuel showed up and confronted him, and Saul was so deceived, he said, "I have done what the Lord commanded." And Samuel's response, "Then what is the sound of the bleating, B-L-E-A-T-I-N-G, bleating of sheep I hear? If you did what God told you to do, what's the sound that I'm hearing in my ear?" And so, "Thus says the Lord" means that we listen to God before we take action, so we know what action we're supposed to take. That's very important. I also want to tell you this. Not all voices are equal. We live in a society now where everybody says what's on their mind in social media, where there's not much pushback generally. But I can tell you that not everyone who speaks to a matter is an expert in the matter. So I have this philosophy, and that is I defer to expertise. I don't have to be the smartest person in the room concerning a problem. And to be quite honest with you, I'm many times relieved when there's someone who knows how to do something better than what I do. That's not a threat, because I know that there are things that God has put into my responsibility that I'm responsible for. And even though there may be people who have things to say about it, their voice doesn't rise up to equate with God's voice. If I hear a "Thus says the Lord" and it's a confirmed voice, I know that it's God speaking. And a lot of times, I will tell you this, a lot of times the way that I know it's God speaking is it is something that stretches my faith and prompts me to act in a way that is beyond my comfort zone. It can be faith building. It can be faith reassuring. But being a pastor is not coming to a place where you just live 24 hours a day in your comfort zone. No, we're called to live by faith. We've got a great big world that we're supposed to reach with the gospel. And we have a local community we're supposed to reach with the gospel. And so there was a time when I went to try and recover a man from our church. This goes back a long time. Who had made some bad choices, and he was someplace he shouldn't have been. And I was like, "Well, let's go get him." And I got down there, and God said, "You're not supposed to be here." And I said, "Okay, let's leave." And so I did. About 6 weeks later, God had blessed us with a vehicle. We had some people that were coming to the church, and we ended up ministering in that same area. We had a van that we were able to use, and we picked up dozens of kids, because that was a "Thus says the Lord," where the other one wasn't. And so if God says, you need to hold your ground, you need to hold your ground. Not all voices are created equal. And so don't ever elevate a human voice over God's voice. There was a prophet who had gone to prophesy, I believe it was to Jeroboam, when Jeroboam had taken the 10 northern tribes, and then he set up golden calves and or calf idols, and And God had told him, hey, you're going to go one way, you're going to go another, you're going to return home a different way. Don't stop, don't eat, don't do anything. Get in, share the message, and get out. Well, when he shared the message, somebody went and told an old prophet. And honestly, I don't understand what motivated this prophet to do this. But the old prophet goes and chases the guy down and said, hey, I want you to come back to my house and eat. And the guy said, God told me that I'm not supposed to do that. And the old prophet said, well, God told me to come get you and bring you back to my house. And so the young prophet went back, and then the old prophet prophesied and said, you're not going to make it back to where you came from because you disobeyed the voice of the Lord. I've never really understood what the old man's motivation were, and the young prophet ended up getting killed by a lion. They went and retrieved his body. They buried him, and the old prophet said, hey, when I die, bury me next to that guy. The error the man made was he thought that all voices were created equal. Political voices do not rise to God's voice. Judicial voices do not rise to God's voice. There's a lot of things that are legal in America right now that are not moral. They're not biblical. They're not holy. And so when you're deciding what to do, you need to make sure that you're listening to the right voice. And on a slightly different note, technology is advancing so much that AI is now able to generate voices and manipulate messages to where if you don't know the person, you would think that you are hearing something that is from a person, when it's actually from a computer. I got a phone call at my house. It was at my house, but they called me on my non-house phone number, and the voice on the other line said, hi, I'm calling you from the police department of such and such, and this is going to be on a recorded line and all of that sort of stuff. And I went click and hung up because I knew that wasn't the case. I've had people who called me pretending to be collection agents, called me at the church, calling to collect supposed past due bills of our power bill. And what they don't know is I get emails. I've got I can tell when there's bills that are due and when they're not due. And I knew that those bills were not past due. And so the person called me and they identified themselves. And I said, you know, God has been so good to you. I said, because you have called a church. And I know for a fact that you are lying to me about this. And the Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And God has been so good to you that you have called. You've got the pastor. And I want to give you an opportunity to repent of your lying so that your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And, that suddenly the line was disconnected. I don't know what happened. But they tried that multiple times. And each time I greet them with the opportunity to repent of their sins. Not all voices are what they pretend to be. Not all voices have the same level of influence. God's voice should have greater influence in your life than even your own voice. Now, the second thing I want to say about this is not all perspectives are morally equivalent. We live in a politically divisive era in our society. There are people who have different opinions, and a lot of times they diverse opinions will try and approve things from the Word of God. But I am of the voice that if God calls something sin, it's sin no matter what anybody else has to say about it. If God says to choose life, I'm going to choose life. If God says that we're supposed to be people who handle the Word of God correctly, I'm going to do my best to handle the Word of God correctly. And so one of the tactics of the enemy is it tries to give the perspective of the devil the same perspective as the Word of God. And those two perspectives are entirely different. One is accurate, one is inaccurate. One is going to lead to greater revelation and greater holiness, and the other one is going to lead to greater deception. One is going to lead to life, the other is going to lead to death. One's going to lead to joy in the Holy Spirit. One of them's going to lead to misery and ruin and heartache and pain. Not all perspectives are morally equivalent. You need to be able to discern, thus says the Lord. The prophet goes on here. I got a few minutes here, and he says, thus says the Lord to you. A lot of times people want to hear what God has to say and say, ooh, that's a good word for so-and-so over there. But what I have found is that most of the time when God is speaking to me, He's speaking to me. Now, there are times as a pastor he will share something with me that I'm supposed to share with a congregation, but my responsibility as a child of God is first and foremost to make sure that my relationship with God is what it is supposed to be. So, God speaks to us to deal with us before he deals with our problem. And so when you have ears to hear, listen to see what that means for you in your life. So I had a person that sent me what I call a hit and run prophecy. They had written down, I mean, they called me the worst pastor they had ever seen. There was a lot of angry things in the letter. And I tell you how I responded to that. I opened it up and I read it, and then I prayed. And I prayed, God, is any of this true? Is any of this a message from you? Because if it's a message from you, I need to change that. I need to address the situation. And God, if it's not true, I'm going to put it in the trash can. I shredded it. I got rid of it. I prayed it did not have the nature of a word from God, and I rejected it. That doesn't mean that all of the time that happens. Sometimes people will share something, and I remember somebody told me something one time, and I was like, you know what? You are absolutely right. I need to change that. I need to change that. So we all need to understand, we need to be humble enough to, when God speaks and he speaks to us, that we say, you know what? This calls for an adjustment in my life. What is it that God is speaking to you right now? There are some of you that God has been drawing into a more active walk with him, and you've been reluctant to do that. You might have a million excuses, but I can tell you there was a time when God told me to do something. I started to do it. It was painful. It was uncomfortable. It was time consuming. And I didn't do it. And about 2 years went by and God said, did you ever do that? And I said, no, I didn't. I never finished that. And he said, well, we need to implement a strategy where you can finish that. I will tell you that if God is drawing you, if God is calling you into a deeper walk with him, he's not forgetting the conversation. He's not forgetting what he said you did. And I would highly encourage all of us, quit making excuses for disobedience and ignoring what God has said to us. Let's start embracing what he said to us and walking in obedience. We'll talk more tomorrow. See you. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.